Greetings. This is a journey through the Word of Yahweh, lesson number 20, and we'll begin with a prayer. Well, Father, we thank you for this day, for this moment, and we thank you for your magnificent Word. And we thank you, Christ Yahushua, for being our Savior. And through you we come to Ab Adonai Yahweh. Amen. This lesson number 20 is going to be based, or entitled, Our Two Saviors, Yahweh and Yahushua. Yahweh is the primary Savior, and Yahushua is the secondary Savior. And also, this is on lessons on salvation. So salvation is very important for all believers, and we must get right our doctrine on salvation. So first and foremost, we're going to look at Yahweh as being our Savior. And he's the Savior of all mankind. And we have to realize that without Yahweh, nothing happens. And so Yahweh saved us through his Son, Yahushua. Yahushua by himself could never save us. He had to come from Yahweh. So as, which we'll see how these words are used. So Yahweh is our Savior. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 49 and read verses 24 to 26. Shall prey be taken from a mighty one, or the captive of one in the right be delivered? Surely, thus saith Yahweh, even the captive of the mighty one shall be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant be delivered, and thy opposers I will oppose, and thy children I will save. Then will I feed thy tormentors with their own flesh, and as with new wine with their own blood shall they be drunk. So shall all flesh know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior. Hebrew word is Yashah. And thy Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob. So Yahweh is our Savior and our Redeemer, and the words we're going to be studying is the word Yashah. Why do we need a Savior? Very good question. And if we go to Genesis 2:16 and 17, and it reads, and Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die, or dying thou shalt die. And that's how it's done in Young's translation. We go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. We'll read, and to the man he said, because thou didst hearken to the voice of thy wife, and so didst eat of the tree as to which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Accursed be the ground for thy sake. In pain shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall be shoot forth to thee, when thou hast come to eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground, because therefore wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The word ground is Adama, and this is also concerning Adam, or Adam. Adam and Eve sold their children, which is us, into slavery, ending in with death, just like Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. This is why we need a Savior and a Redeemer. A hint of a Redeemer, Savior, is obviously in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, which is the woman's seed. The hint of life, age abiding, is in Genesis 3, 22, which I will read. Then said Yahweh Elohim, lo, man hath become like one of us in respecting of knowing good and evil. Now therefore, lest he thrust forth his hand and take even of the tree of life and eat and live to time's age abiding. So there's our hint of age abiding life, and that's what we're all aiming towards, age abiding life. First and foremost, we've got to realize Yahweh is our Savior. And we're going to see this in Isaiah 45, verse 22. And it reads, by my, wait, I'll start over. Verse 22, Isaiah 45, 22, Turn unto me, and be ye Yashad, all ye ends of the earth, for I am El, and there is none else. So turn unto me, and be ye saved, Yashad, all ye ends of the earth, for I am El, and there is none else. Yahweh, which is also the El is his title, saves. So if you go to Isaiah 60 now, verses 14 through 16, which we all read, then shall come unto thee bending low the sons of them who had humbled thee. And Isaiah 60 is dealing with the new heaven and earth. Then shall they bow down unto the soles of thy feet, all they who have despised thee. And they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion. And Zion is pronounced, is the correct pronunciation, is Zion. The Zion of our Holy One of Israel. Instead of thou being forsaken and hated, so that none used to pass through thee, I will make of thee an exceedingly age-abiding, the joy of generation after generation. And thou shalt derive sweet nourishment from the nations. Yea, on the bounty of kings shalt thou be sustained. So shalt thou know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior, Yashah, and that thy Redeemer is the Mighty One of Jacob. So there we are in Isaiah 60:14. And as you can see, this is referring to the new earth, because if you look at verse 19, thou shalt no more have the sun for light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Yahweh hath become thine age-abiding light. Savior, or saved, the Hebrew word, like I said, is Yashah, Strong's number 03467, in the Hippel stem. And we must remember that in verbs with Hebrew, there are seven stems, and this is in the Hippel stem, which many times the same word in a different stem has different meanings. And we find out, and here's just a good little piece of extra comment. The word Yahshua, which many people today call Jesus Yahshua, which I did at one time also, is not a name, but Yahshua is the Hebrew word for salvation, which comes from the Hebrew word Yashah. So, Yahshua is Strong's number 03444, while Yashah is 03467. So, Yahshua means salvation. Yashah means Savior or saved. And we're going to see this in Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, stand still, and see the salvation, or the Yahshua of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For as for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, he shall not again see them any more to time's age of body. So let me read that again. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, stand still, and see the Yahshua of Yahweh. So we must correct our error if we've been calling our Savior Yahshua. That's really incorrect. It's a lot better than Jesus, all right, a lot closer than Jesus, but his real name is Yahushua, which is four syllables. Yahshua is three syllables. Yahushua is the same name that Yahweh gave to, through Moses, gave to Hosea, who is Joshua, which we call Joshua. Yahushua, four syllables, is Strong's number 03091. And that name can be seen in Numbers 13:16. I want to read something that this came from the Bible software concerning the word Yashah. Yashah and its derivatives are used 353 times. The root meaning in Arabic is make wide, or make sufficient. This root is in contrast to sarah, narrow. So, obviously, sarah is the antonym of yashah, which means to, you know, so sarah means narrow, which means to be restricted or cause distress. That which is wide denotes freedom from distress and the ability to pursue one's own objectives. To move from safety, from distress to safety requires deliverance. Generally, the deliverance must come from somewhere outside the party oppressed. In the Old Testament, the kinds of distress, both natural and individual, includes enemies, natural catastrophes such as plague or famine and sickness. The one who brings deliverance is known as the Savior, Yahshua. The word may be used, however, in everyday life free of theological overtones. At a well, Moses saved, or Yahshua, the daughters of Reuel from being driven off by the shepherds in Exodus 2:17. But generally, in the Old Testament, the word has strong religious meanings, for it was Yahweh who wrought the deliverance. Thus, he is known as the El of our salvation, which we will see in Psalms 68:19-20, which I will read, "Blessed be Adon, Adon is Lord. Day by day he beareth our burden for us. El himself is our Yahshua, salvation." The El we have is an El of saving deeds. "And due to Yahweh, my Adon, our escapes from death." Although salvation could come through a human agent, it was only because Yahweh empowered the agent. So a good illustration to understand salvation or Savior, which is our study on the word Yahshua, we can look at its antonym, which is Sa'ar or Sa'ra. And in Nehemiah 9:27, it's really loaded. Both of them are going to be in the sentence. "Therefore, didst thou deliver them into the hand of their adversaries," which is Sar, "who distressed Sarah them, and at the time of their Sarah distress, they made outcry unto thee, and thou out of the heavens did hear, and according to thy abounding compassion gavest them saviors, Yahshua, that they might save Yahshua them out of the hand of their adversaries, Sar." So we get to say Sar or Sarah, which is the antonyms to Yahshua. That gives us a good understanding of the word Yahshua. We'll do a little study on Yahweh sending saviors. And obviously that's what he did with his son. So we're trying to correct what I think in many people's circles, especially Christian circles, where Christ has become Yahweh and Christ is the sole Savior. And that's just incorrect. And that's actually really giving great dishonor to our Creator Yahweh. So Yahweh is first and foremost the primary Savior. Yahushua, his son, is the secondary Savior. We're going to see in Judges 2, verse 16 and 18, how Yahweh raised up saviors all through the book of Judges. And they will read, "And though Yahweh raised up judges who Yashad, or saved them out of the hand of them that plundered them, yet even unto their judges did they not hearken, for they went unchastely astray after other gods, and bowed themselves down to them, and turned aside speedily out of the way wherein their fathers, who hearkened unto the commandments of Yahweh, walked. They did not so. And when Yahweh raised them up judges, then was Yahweh with the judges, and saved them," or Yahshua them, "out of the hand of their enemies, all the day of the judge." We're going to see in Judges 3, verse 7 through 9, Othniel is called a savior. We're going to see in Judges 3, 12 to 15, Ehud is a savior. And then we can see in Judges 6, chapter 6, verses 14 to 15, Gideon is also a savior. So the book of Judges is loaded with Yahweh sending saviors to redeem his people. And we can see Christ as a savior, or Yahushua. So Yahweh, and remember, Christ's name is Yahushua, which means Yah, or Yahweh, is salvation. So that tells us right there that Christ's name is pointing to Yahweh, not to himself, or to Yah, and not to himself. His name means Yah, or Yahweh, is salvation. So Yahweh is our Savior. primary Yahushua, his son. He saved, you know, he saved us through his son, Yahushua. Then we go to Acts or Luke chapter 2, verse 11, and it reads, that there hath been born unto you this day a Savior. And that is, you know, that is, this is Greek now, because we're in Luke, and it's Soter, which is Strong's number 4990, from Sozo, which is Strong number 4982. So Sozo is save, and Soter is Savior. But obviously this still reflects back to Yasha, which is the foundation. But we see that, read 11 again. There hath been born unto you this day a Savior, a Soter, who is Christ the Lord in the city of David. So, as Yahweh sent Gideon and other people to save his people, so also he sent Yahushua to save us, his son. We'll also see Yahushua as Savior in Acts 13:23. From this man's seed hath Yahweh, according to promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Yahushua. And obviously from David's seed is what we're talking about. Salvation, or Yahushua, our salvation is from what? It's from the second death. So salvation, Yahushua, is from the second death, which we can see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I'll read verse 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and sentence of judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded because of the witness of Yahushua, and because of the word of Yahweh, and such as had not done homage unto the wild beast, or unto his image, nor hath received the mark upon their forehead, or upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Happy and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon these, the second death hath no authority. And they shall be priests of Yahweh and of the Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So we get to see that what we're being saved from is the second death, which is in the book of Revelation. The lake of fire, which is in verse 11 through 15, which I'll read. Chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Sheol gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged each one according to their works. And death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. So our salvation is always centered, in this particular salvation that Yahushua gave us, it's always centered around not dying, living life, or having a life age-abiding. The serpent in Genesis 3:4 said, if they disobeyed Yahweh, they would not die, which we know was a lie. Yahushua says, if you obey him, or Yahweh says, if you obey him, you shall not die. So the serpent says, if you disobey Yahweh, you shall live. And Yahweh says, if you disobey me, you shall die, but if you obey me, you shall live. Which is in, we'll get that in Ezekiel chapter 18. And that reads, but as for the lawless man, when he shall turn back from all his sins which he hath committed, and observe all my statutes, and do justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. We also see this in Ezekiel chapter 33. Verses 14 and 15. And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin and do justice and righteousness, the debt plague the lawless man shall restore, plunder shall pay back, and the statutes of life, that's walk, so as not to commit perversity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So we also see salvation and Savior's always around death. We also see this with Christ in John chapter 6, verse 35. Yahushua said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me in no wise shall hunger, and he that believeth on me in no wise shall thirst any more. Now if we go to verse 47, by eating this bread, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath life, age abiding. I am the bread of life. Your father did eat in the desert the manna and died. This is the bread which out of heaven cometh down, that one thereof may eat and not die. I am the living bread. We'll just stop there. But you can see in verse 50 it says, this is the bread which out of heaven cometh down, that one thereof may eat and not die. So not dying is receiving life, age abiding. Now, we did a paper on this. It's called Life, Age Abiding in Volume 1 of the Teilos book. It's also in Lessons 2. The ages, what we're going to be covering right now is the 10 ages in the Word of Yahweh and how salvation can be acquired in the different ages. That's in Lesson 2. So the article, Life, Age Abiding, is in the Teilos book, Volume 1. Referring back to Lesson 2, we have 10 ages. We have Adam and Eve, the age of Adam and Eve, of innocence. We have the age of Cain, which is murder. We have the age of Noah, which capital punishment entered. We have the age of Abram and Sarah, circumcision entered, and faith. We have the age of Moses, Levitical law entered. We have the age of Yahushua, which is the Gospels. We have the age of the Christ, which is our present age, the church, the body of the Christ, Christ being the head, and that's the church epistles. We have the age of the beast, which is the book of Revelation after the church is gone, chapters Revelation chapter 1 through 19. Then we have the age of Christ as king, Christ's thousand years reign, which begins in Revelation 20. And then we have Yahweh as king after death and Sheol have been thrown into the lake of fire, and everybody else who is not going to live, who experienced the second death. That's in the end of chapter 20. And so Yahweh as king is Revelations 21 and 22, which is the ending of our story, really the beginning of our new journey. So, acquiring life, age abiding, or salvation, Yahshua, is different in each age. And so what we're trying to do is correct. When people say, here's how you get saved, or here's how you receive salvation, they must preface it by what age they're talking with. Most people are talking that we're always in this age. Well, that's just not correct. And people are going to get confused, so our foundation has to be grounded on the Word of Yahweh. Because somebody's going, if you say we're saved by grace, that is correct in this age, but that was not correct 2,000 years ago. Or it's not going to be correct after we're gone. So we're going to see that. So each area many times had different salvation. So we're going to see in the first age with Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:9, Adam and Eve could have taken and eaten of the tree of life and lived age abidingly. That was salvation to them. Then we see the age of Cain, the age of Noah, Abram, and Sarah is based on good works. And that's Revelations 20, verse 11 through 12. Let's just go through there. Which we read this a while back. But we remember, and it says that they were judged according to their works. According to their works is used two times. So if a person says, well, we're saved by grace, and then a person's going to refer to Revelations, and they're going to say, well, what about this verse? So you must know what age you're talking about, because according to the people in the Old Testament, before Yahushua was even born, they could not be saved through Christ, because Christ hadn't been born yet. So what we're going to see is they were saved by works, which we can see, and we'll start that out in Ezekiel 18, verses 5 through 9. So if a person reads, we're saved by grace, and somebody's going to take you to Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, it's going to contradict what you just said. So you must know that in our age we're saved by grace, but in the Old Testament, and that includes Moses and Yahushua, which we've seen, their job was to obey the Levitical and Mosaic law. So Ezekiel 18, verses 5 through 9, "But when any man shall be righteous and do justice and righteousness upon the mountain hath not eaten, and his eyes hath not lifted up unto the manufactured gods of the house of Israel, and the wife of his neighbor hath not defiled, and unto a woman during her removal hath not approached, and no man hath treated with violence, but his debt plague hath restored, plunder hath not seized, his bread to the famished hath given, and the naked hath covered with clothing, upon interest hath not put out his money, and increase hath not accepted, from dishonesty hath turned back his hand, justice and truth hath done between man and man, and in my statute hath walked, and my regulation hath observed, to do them in truth. Righteous he is, he shall surely live, declareth Adon Yahweh." So we see in that particular time, these were all works, and that gave people life age abiding. One side note is, if you have the actual printed Rotherham Bible, you're going to see all of the grammatical inversions that I just read to you. And it's very important to read our paper on grammatical inversions in the Telulos books, and it will explain these marks that Rotherham has put in there, which is beautiful, because this is Yahweh's emphasis. Now we'll go to Ezekiel 33, verse 14. And we'll read 14 through 16. "And when I say to the lawless man, thou shalt surely die, but he shall turn from his sin and do justice and righteousness, the debt plague the lawless man shall restore, plunder shall pay back, and the statutes of life hath walked so as not to commit perversity, he shall surely live and shall not die. None of his sins which he has committed shall be called to mind against him. Justice and righteousness hath he done. He shall surely live." So we see this is in the Mosaic time, which obviously this is by works. We're going to also see it was by works in Yahushua's time. And we can just go to Mark chapter 10. So this is the age of Yahushua. And this is called the rich ruler. But in verse Mark 10, verse 17 to 19, "And as he was going forth into a road, one running and kneeling before him was questioning him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that life, age abiding, I may inherit?'" Remember our last lesson, it's life and death, not heaven and hell. So he didn't say, "How can I go to heaven?" He just said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that life, age abiding, I may inherit?" "And Yahushua said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, Yahweh. The commandments thou knowest, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor thy father and mother." So he's explained to the person how to receive life, age abiding, which is the moral commandments. He never specified the Levitical commandments, but the moral commandments. So we see that in Yahushua's time, he answered the question. Now we go to John 15, verse 1 and 2. Many times people put John, and it appears many times that it's an age of grace, where it's not by works, but that's really not the case. By reading John 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every one that beareth fruit, he pruneth it, that more fruit it may bear. Well, we saw his Father takes it away. What happens to those branches that are taken away? In verse 6, if one abide not in me, what's going to happen to him? He is cast out as the branch and withereth, and they gather them, and into the fire they cast them, and they are burned. Very simply, that's also by works too. The age of the beast, we're going to see, is also by works. And that's Revelation 2, verse 10. Through verse 11. Do not fear the things which thou art about to suffer. Lo, the adversary is about to cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and may have tribulation 10 days. Become thou fruitful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying unto the assemblies. He that overcometh shall in no wise be injured by reason of the second death. So there's a second death again, and that's being thrown into the lake of fire. But what are the requirements? They must overcome. So in the age of the beast, after we're gone, those people go back under works. The age of Christ, obviously, is in the thousand-year kingdom. We know many of them are put to death. They were as the sand of the sea. They come against the city of David. And then we see Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. What are read out of those is works. That leaves us with the last age, and that is the age that we presently live in, the age which I call the sacred secret, or the Christ, Christ being the head and we're being the body. That is an age of faith and not of works, which we're going to reconcile this. So if you go to Romans chapter 3, verse 27-31, we'll read that. Where then the boasting? It is excluded. But what kind of law? Of works? Nay, but through the law of faith. For we reckon that a man is to be declared righteous by faith apart from works of the law. Or is Yahweh the Elohim of Jews only, and not of the nations also? Yea, of the nations also. If, at all events, Yahweh is one, who will declare righteous the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through their faith? Do we then make law void through means of our faith? Far be it. On the contrary, law we do establish. So we start coming into a new revelation about the works and law. We go to Ephesians chapter 2, 8, which most everybody's very familiar with this. For by his favor have we been saved, sozo, through means of faith, and this hath come to pass, not from you, of Yahweh, the free gift, not from works, lest anyone should boast. His, in fact, we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Yahushua, upon a footing of good works, which Yahweh prepared beforehand, that therein we might walk. But we say it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Remember, if you're ever going to do a doctrine, you must have more than one verse. You know, you got to have some clear verses, which in this case, we saw Romans kind of agree with that. We're going to see in Titus also that it agrees. So in Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, not by works which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved, or sozoed us, which would be yasha in Hebrew, through means of the bathing of a new birth and with molding anew of holy Ruach, which he poured on us richly through Christ Yahushua, through Yahushua Mashiach, our Savior. So we get to see by faith and not by works. We see that in Ephesians and in Titus in this particular age, because Christ now had paid the price for mankind. Now remember, all the scripture has to work together. So we're going to see that. We're look at James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. Because this is going to put another little handle on what we just saw, works and faith. So this teaching is trying to get salvation correct. Many times I think it has slipped away where salvation is just a coming by mental assent or mental confirmation that I can say, well, Jesus is my Lord, and that's all I've got to do, and I'm saved. Well, that's not it. We're going to see it takes more than just speaking with your mouth. So we're going to see what James 2, 14 to 26 says about faith and works, because at the end of it, it says, just as the body apart from Ruach is dead, so our faith also apart from works is dead. Now, this is going to tie faith right back to works. So we've got to reconcile now faith and works and what is being communicated by our Father. So we're going to start reading in verse 14. What profit, my brethren, if one should be saying he hath faith, but hath not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister should be naked and coming short of the daily food, and one from among you should say unto them, withdraw in peace, be getting warmed and fed, but should not give them the things needful for the body, what the profit? So, also faith, if it hath not works, is dead by itself. But one will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from my works, and I unto thee will show by my works my faith. So actually his work is showing his faith, which we can see what happens with Abraham. Thou believest that Yahweh is one, thou doest well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But art thou willing to learn, O empty man, that faith apart from works is idle? Abraham our father, was it not by works he was declared righteous when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And this is very important because we've got to realize, well, I'll come back to this. Let's just finish reading. Thou seeing that his faith had been working together with his works, and by his works did his faith become full grown, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and was reckoned to him as righteousness. And Yahweh's friend was he called. You see that by works a man is declared righteous, and not by faith alone. And in like manner also, Rahab the harlot, was it not by works she was declared righteous, when she gave welcome unto the messengers, and by another way urged them forth? Just as the body apart from Ruach is dead, so our faith also, apart from works, is dead. Now, let's just examine this, with Abraham. So Yahweh told Abraham, go offer Isaac your son. And if he said, yes, sir, and stayed in the camp, what would have happened? Nothing, because he had no action behind what he was saying. So, what did he end up doing? He took Isaac up to the mountain and was pulling out the knife to put him to death because Yahweh told him to. And he wasn't kidding. All right? He didn't hold his hand over Isaac and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready at any time. I'm ready. That's not faith. So his works, by him actually going through with the actual motion, he was going to kill Isaac because Yahweh told him to. And he was going to believe that Isaac would be raised from among the dead through Yahweh. That's in Hebrews 11. If he was he was accounted righteous because he actually did what Yahweh was telling him to do. Not that the act of putting to death Isaac was going to give him age abiding, but he was actually doing what Yahweh said, and his works were backing up that he actually believed it. So it gives the same situation with Rahab. So if Rahab says, I believe in your Yahweh too, and I'm going to save you, but did not hide them, then the messengers, or the spies would have been killed, And that's not showing a faith at all, because her works, by hiding them, exhibited her faith. And so this is what we've got to see, is we've got to tie in works and faith together. Not that our actual works by obeying the Mosaic law would save us or give us salvation at this particular time. It is acting upon our Father's word. So by breaking it back down, what we've got to do is, for our salvation in this particular age, is to become part of the lordship of Yahushua. So we're going to look at the word Lord. You know, Romans 10:9, we all know, if we confess Yahushua is our Lord and believe in our heart that Yahweh raised or woke him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved, or sozo, or yasha. But let's look at this Lord. And the word Lord is master, owner, to serve. And so when we tell somebody, all you have to do is confess Romans 10:9, that is really not correct on receiving salvation. We're going to see, first and foremost, the lordship or the master, because salvation is really a master-servant relationship. But this tape is running a little bit long, so I think we'll continue this on the next tape on the lordship or master owner of Yahushua. So we'll end this particular tape with a prophecy according to 1 Corinthians 14:1-39 to you. My sons and my daughters, stretch out forth your hands. Be eager to receive my word, and do not fail your walk and your guidance upon my scriptures, because my scriptures will uphold you. As I tell you to act upon my scriptures, walk upon those words that I have given you, and you shall rise above mankind, and you shall rise and flutter in the sky as I have built you to do, because you are my sons and my daughters, my servants, who I put here for a purpose, to exalt me, to show who I am through you, in order that others may be saved and brought to me in completeness and in fellowship and communion with me and my son, Yahushua Mashiach. Well, Father, we thank you for these words, and see you on the next session.